Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood, but she made a lot of alarming statements that should cause all of us concern. We're going to talk about this right now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Dr. George Grant, who's a pastor and a Christian educator as well as an author. In fact, one of his seminal works, as far as books are concerned, was a book exposing Planned Parenthood, including its founder, Margaret Sanger. And, George, it's great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Great to be with you again, Jerry.
Sure. Now, I saw an article on lifenews.com, and I forwarded it to you, and it was called 21 Eye-Opening Quotes from Planned Parenthood Founder Margaret Sanger. But, of course, Margaret Sanger's, crazy quotes are not, unknown to you. You've been dealing with this stuff for more than 25 years, I think.
Yeah, and you don't even have to rely on just a few isolated quotes, although they are quite eye-opening. The whole trajectory of her life, all of the work that she intended to do, her ideology, it all paints the same picture. So it's not like these individual quotes are exceptions. They actually demonstrate the rule.
Okay, let's take a quote right here. She said, "We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population." That's from a letter she wrote in December 1939. This is all verified stuff, too, by the way, right?
Right, right. Yeah, she was she had created at Planned Parenthood something called the Negro Project. It was Margaret Sanger's view that there were human weeds in the population that actually inhibited the advance of mankind toward a progressive future, and that part of the solution to America's and the world's cultural, social, and economic problems, and the means by which a great socialist and progressivist revolution could be ushered in, would be to eliminate those unwanted human stocks or human weeds. And among those were people of African or of Latin American heritage, Slavs and Eastern Europeans, as well as large numbers of Eastern peoples, Chinese and Japanese, etc. So she had this view that if you eliminate these unwanted stocks, then evolution could proceed and the great progressivist revolution could be ushered in.
So it sounds like she was an equal opportunity racist.
She was. She was. But, she wasn't alone in this.
Yeah.
There was a movement at the beginning of the 20th century called eugenics.
Good.
And eugenics was a kind of scientific racism. And the idea of eugenics, like so much of the sort of the family of offshoots that came from Darwinism and Malthusianism, the idea of eugenics was very, very popular in progressive academic circles. There was a chair of eugenic studies at Harvard and at Princeton and at Yale. There was a chair of eugenic studies at Stanford. There were eugenics laws passed in 32 states. Margaret Sanger was not at all alone in this kind of scientific racism.
Well, and we should point out that wasn't eugenics essentially thoroughly discredited by the Nazis because they took it to the nth degree?
Yes, they made a spectacle out of eugenics, but of course eugenics was really and truly debunked scientifically long before the Nazis. There's no scientific basis to the notion that you can, based on, genetic background or even ethnic background, predict the intellect, the health, the contribution to society of any individual. That's just that has long been debunked by good science.
Right, but what I mean is, you know, when you think about it, the Nazis were so thoroughly discredited. I mean, Adolf Hitler's probably the right. most evil person around. And yet today, Planned Parenthood has this aura of respectability, and presumably its founder does too. And, you know, she's featured in some of the museums, Smithsonian museums and so forth, but she's not, you know, tarnished as a Nazi or as a racist, but she certainly was a racist. I mean, just by everything you've said.
She was a Nazi sympathizer. One of the board members of the early version of Planned Parenthood was the very person that Hitler turned to create the Nazi euthanasia program. She actually published the works and wrote a review of Lothrop Stoddard's book, a book about the need to eliminate Jews and blacks from the human population. So, you know, she was very much a part of that whole movement.
So who was that very person that you're saying that Hitler turned to? Was somebody Stoddard?
Ernst Rudin. He created Hitler's euthanasia program, and then Lothrop Stoddard was a kind of pop philosopher that Himmler and Hitler looked to. He wrote a book entitled The Rising Tide of Color Against White World Supremacy, and it was a book that was very popular in progressive circles.
So what does Margaret Sanger have to do with either of these two guys that you just mentioned? Stoddard or Rudin?
Rudin was on the board of the Birth Control Association, the early version of Planned Parenthood, and Lothrop Stoddard and Ernst Rudin both wrote for the Birth Control Review, her publication, attended her very famous New York City eugenics conference, global conference, in 1922, and she was close friends and confidants with both Lothrop Stoddard and Ernst Rudin.
Wow. You know, we should remember this, and it's galling to think that despite all of the, you know, the exposure about what Planned Parenthood does and the allegations against it and so forth, still about half of our, you know, half of the money they get is from tax dollars. And so this is just amazing. Now, here's a statement from Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. The most merciful thing that the large family does to one of its infant members is to kill it.
Right. That was, it's really interesting. She wrote a book entitled Woman and the New Race. And there is, there's a chapter called The Wickedness of Creating Large Families. And this is one of the quotes from that chapter.
Well, was her thinking that there are just too many babies in the world? You mentioned Malthus earlier in this conversation. Malthus, you know, was a British thinker around 1800, and he postulated the idea that, hey, pretty soon, you know, we're going to have too many people on this planet. It's kind of an unbiblical perspective, obviously, as opposed to the idea from God in the beginning of the Bible, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth.
Right. Yeah, Malthus postulated that there would be a population explosion, that population grows exponentially while resources like food and the ability to provide shelter and all of that, resources only grow arithmetically over time. So the whole idea of a population explosion and the danger of a population explosion comes from Malthus. And Margaret Sanger was very definitely a Malthusian. She bought that lock, stock, and barrel. And she also bought into a large number of the offshoots of Malthusianism, like recapitulationism and eugenics, all pseudosciences, all have been debunked and disproven. We now know that that resources do indeed grow exponentially. If Malthus had been right, the world would have gone into global famine by the year 1848, and we would have wiped out the population of the earth in 1848. it didn't happen.
Wow. All right, here's another quote from Margaret Sanger. A marriage license shall in itself give husband and wife only the right to a common household and not the right to parenthood. She sort of has an anti-baby mentality. By the way, was she a mother? Did she have any children?
She was a mother. She had three children.
You're kidding. And, three children. Whoa. What a criminal. I mean, she's kind of like in the, you know, only one baby. If you're going to have a baby, only one baby per person is allowed.
Right. Yeah. Well, she actually believed that the right kind of people could have a larger number of children. She really wasn't against a family having three or four or five children. She was against the idea that the wrong people were having all of the children and the right people were just not having enough children. And so she had this idea that if the government would regulate this through licensure, you would actually have a license for marriage and then you would have licenses for children.
Wow. And who determines, you know, which families are fit and which families are unfit? And by the way, I'll just give a quote here from her. As an advocate of birth control, I wish to take advantage of the present opportunity to point out that the unbalance between the birth rate of the unfit and the fit, admittedly the greatest present menace to civilization, can never be rectified by the inauguration of a cradle competition between these two classes. So some babies, right, or some parents rather, are fit to breed. Others are unfit to breed. And who, pray tell, you know, is the elite that's going to, you know, decide which are which?
Yeah, for her, it would be a modern medical and political version of Plato's philosopher kings. In other words, it's the experts. It's
the elites.
You know, the elite.
Isn't that interesting? I mean, I feel like, George, it seems like, you know, the longer I live, the more I see this kind of conflict between the people, we the people, and the elites that want to control we the people. And, you know, so again, going back to this point I made earlier that half of the funding of Planned Parenthood comes from we, the taxpayers, and there have been all sorts of attempts and all sorts of brouhaha, you know, to change that, but still it hasn't happened, even under a Republican president and a Republican Senate and a Republican House of Representatives.
Exactly. Exactly. It's really shameful that we have not had the political will to do what according to polls 2 years ago, is the will of the American people, and that is to remove taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. But we have just simply not had the political will, which tells us how much money and influence is at the root of this massive industry. Planned Parenthood is the world's most profitable nonprofit organization.
Hmm. All right, listen to this. I accepted an invitation, this is Margaret Sanger talking, to talk to the women's branch of the Ku Klux Klan. I was escorted to the platform, was introduced, and began to speak. In the end, through simple illustrations, I believe I accomplished my purpose. A dozen invitations to speak to similar groups were proffered. This is in her autobiography, published in 1938. When you think about Charlottesville and what happened there a few months ago and all the brouhaha about the remnant of the Ku Klux Klan, and yet here is the founder of Planned Parenthood, without apology, speaking to the KKK. And we'll close with your thoughts on this.
Well, and this is the time that she records this. We actually have secondhand sources that tell us that she followed up and had the opportunity to speak to several more groups just like this, various racial groups as well as other KKK branches around the country. This was her vision. It's why she was so attracted to Nazism early on.
George Grant, author on Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, and other issues. Kingsmeadow.com for more information. George, thanks so much for being with us on Vocal Point.
Thank you, Jerry. Bless you.